All right, everybody, strap on your seatbelt, sit back and relax. Here we go with yet another Tech Doctor podcast. And Allison, how are you doing on this fine day?
Well, this is no ordinary Sunday, Robert, because it is day two of a four-day weekend in the Hartley residence. So I am doing extremely well.
Oh, you lucky woman, a four-day weekend. Count me in.
I don't know what I'm going to do with all this free time. Maybe actually, you know, sit and relax.
Wouldn't that be a novel concept? Well, I hope you do.
I know.
Enjoy your four-day weekend. And by the way, what time is it on your new Apple Watch?
Let's see. When I look at my wrist, I still see my wrist.
Oh, okay.
But it's coming.
That's coming. All right. Well, I was sort of hoping that maybe secretly Apple had sent you one to review and you would...
Oh, wouldn't that be beautiful?
You would reveal it right now, but I guess that's not going to happen. All right. Well, we can talk about the Apple Watch more later on, as I'm sure we will. But right now, we want to talk about a new addition to a brand new book, which I've always thought of as kind of the Bible of the iPhone with voiceover. And we're fortunate to have back with us again, Woody Anna Dresner. Anna, welcome back to the podcast. Take a moment and say hi and tell us a little bit about you, if you will.
Well, hi, everybody. And thank you so much, Robert and Allison, for having me. That four-day weekend sounds like a wonderful thing. I've been writing these tech books off and on for National Braille Press since the late 90s. And you know, before that, I taught for a couple of years at the Carroll Center for the Blind in Boston. And I'm so glad I did that because, you know, it's just been that teaching experience has just been a godsend with all of these various books that I do for them. And I'm still homeschooling our son and do a couple of radio shows on the Phoenix. So, you know, I keep busy.
Yeah, it sounds like you got plenty going on. What version of the book on iOS is this, Anna? How many times have you done this now?
I guess this is the fifth one. I think the first year, which Dean Martineau helped write, was for iOS 4.
Wow.
And one of them, I did a supplement instead of a full book. I think that was iOS 6, but I think that's right that this was the fifth time around.
So it's real clear that you would have needed to do, I would guess, a new book for iOS 7 last year because it was so different from iOS 6. But what about this year? A lot of differences between 7 and 8 as far as the book goes?
I think the biggest difference is all of the different views, especially on the iPhone 6 Plus. It was more challenging to write in that respect because in past years, you could just say, go to the home screen. If you are using a 5S or 5 or before, you're going to have, or no, I guess it was a 4S or earlier, you're going to have, you know, four rows of icons. Otherwise, you have five. And that was the only real difference I had to address. Otherwise, it's like, you know, the dock's at the bottom and, you know, those kinds of things where you go to the settings screen and you could just say, all the settings are on this screen. And if you press one of them, you go into a screen that has those settings on it, and that you didn't have to account for different phones. And now we have reachability, and we have the zoomed versus standard view, and we have those extra panels on the 6 Plus to deal with. So it just seemed like there was a lot more. It's getting to be more like writing a computer tutorial where there's all these variants that have to be taken into account.
Yeah, I noticed several times in the book you'd say if you have an iPhone, pre-iPhone 5, it's like this, a 5, it's like this, a 6, it's different in these ways. And so you clearly had to really go through and delineate which phone has which amounts of icons on the screen and things like that. And I guess that makes it certainly more complicated for you, the writer, but it makes it a bit more complicated maybe for the reader and or for the person who's trying to choose the right iPhone, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, trying to figure out, I hope I managed it, trying to figure out how to describe it in a way that would be helpful and not confusing, because it is, you know, it's very difficult when there's all these different options to try to come up with, you know, how to write it in a way that you're telling people what's available to them, because you don't want to oversimplify by just eliminating important information, but hopefully not bewildering people too much.
Yeah, you've got the challenge, too, if you don't want to give too much information for everyone who doesn't have that particular version of the phone, it doesn't apply to them, because you want to make it streamlined and make it flow as best you can. I'm guessing that maybe not only has it gotten more challenging with all the different phones, but it's gotten more challenging with all the different features. They just keep adding and adding to iOS, and that's got to give you more to cover each time.
Yeah, that's true, which is why this book, you know, in the past I went through every single app on the phone and how to use the App Store and all of that, and I just couldn't do that this time around because, well, for one thing, it would have made the book massive, which would have made it bigger, bulkier, and more expensive. And, you know, there's a real limit in terms of how much, you know, National Braille Press wants to do in that regard. And I, you know, understand that. And it would have been harder because in certain cases you would have been saying, well, in this phone, it's the stuff is here. Plus just the research involved in doing that. You know, if you're going to do it, you want to do it right with as much detail as possible. And, you know, so it just wasn't feasible. So I really tried to focus on getting people up and running. I also have a pretty detailed section on iTunes because iTunes 12 is more complex in a lot of ways, I think, for a lot of people to get used to. It's certainly doable, but it's complicated. And so trying to do that in a way that people could use it to get their content on. I mean, that's the focus, not using every feature of iTunes, but how to get what you want on your device and how to get set up and what the different settings are. And then I spend a lot of time on entering text and using Braille and all of that, because that is certainly important to anybody who wants to use the phone to do anything other than just recreational stuff. You know, if you want to actually be able to write a long message or a document or edit your text or whatnot. So I really focused on those issues and how to make phone calls, of course.
Well, you always forget about phone calls. I do it so seldom. Well, because there's so much more to do with the phone. So I guess really this book in my mind has always been a go-to book for someone who's beginning with the iPhone, because you walk them through everything that they essentially need to know to get up and running. But it sounds like maybe it's also, especially these days, an appropriate book for people who are already up and running, but maybe who aren't that familiar with the ins and outs of what's now available in iOS 8. Because when you think about Braille and the new Braille screen input mode and all that, pretty significant changes, I would think.
Well, that certainly is true, that between Braille screen input and splitting off the Braille views, so you can be viewing in grade 2 or uncontracted Braille, but writing in something else and all of that. Yeah, that's definitely more complex. And the fact that with typing in text, you know, there's actually extra keys on the keyboard if you happen to be using a 6 or 6 plus in landscape mode and some of that. You know, if you're interested in using the phone for entering text and all of that, I certainly think you could learn stuff from this, even if you've been using it for a while.
Yeah, and the changes just come so fast and so often that it's almost necessary to have a book like this come out when there's a new version of the operating system for people to stay up to date, unless they're the geeks among us who are constantly monitoring this stuff. But the truth is, most people aren't. Most people, I think, just want to be able to use their phone.
Oh, absolutely. Even if you're interested in what's going on and following it closely and all of that, it's you miss stuff. I mean, you know, I always read Jonathan Mosen's book to, you know, to see what other people have come up with, for instance. So, but if you're not interested in doing all that, then yeah, you're going to miss out on a lot and it could be confusing. So, you know, I do hope that this book can help people who want to get up and running with the latest features but haven't had a chance to follow all the ins and outs.
We did see an increase, as we mentioned briefly, in the way Apple is dealing with Braille this year, new options and new ways of going about it. And Braille is one of the things that has kind of been a double-edged sword for Apple in the past. Some people have liked the way that they implemented it. Some have not liked it at all. Some have said it's okay. What's your feeling about where Apple is at this point with people who want to use Braille with their iOS devices? How do you feel about what they've done with iOS 8?
I definitely think it's better. I think splitting the two Braille input methods, well, for one thing, Braille on screen input is a really nice addition, because, of course, you could get that with mBraille, but it's expensive. I do wish that they would let you hear characters when you're typing in grade two. That would be nice, because I hate going along typing and then suddenly realizing that I'm typing gibberish. But I think that was a really good addition. And I think that the fact that now what you type appears in a buffer before it gets translated is very helpful. At this point, I've turned off automatic Braille translation. I'm very happy that it's easier to get control of it. I think really seems like the main thing that would be nice, and I don't know how they would implement it exactly, would be that if you were editing your text that you've Brailled, if you're editing in grade two, especially for students who haven't been using Braille that long, if, say, you left a P out of the word apple, if you could just type a P in the middle of the word and it wouldn't translate that as people, I think that would be really nice if it had some way of viewing a word as a whole when you were making corrections to make it really work for everybody. But I think it's a lot better than it was. It was kind of laggy for a while, and they've got that worked out. They're definitely on the right track.
Yeah, I feel that way too. The problem of editing is an interesting one. HIMSS has kind of tried to deal with that in some ways by giving people the option of editing in a buffer and then just hitting a key and sending that buffer over to the iOS device. And I mean, that's got its pros and cons too, but there are different ways to go about this. And I'm just betting we're likely to see Apple maybe do more experimentation in this area, because there may be some really exciting stuff coming, I think, as we're starting to see this haptic feedback come to the MacBooks, and we just might see more of this on the iOS screens. I mean, I have no verification of that, but I sure wouldn't be surprised, and that really might have some effect on how we use Braille on these screens.
Yeah, it might. That would be really exciting.
Yeah, it would be. Since this is a book that a lot of people are going to be reading in Braille or going to be purchasing from National Braille Press, I thought it would be nice to spend a little time talking about the improvements, because you got to admit, you know, it is pretty cool that you can have this little Braille display attached via Bluetooth and work completely silently on your iOS device using the Braille display. And I do it sometimes in meetings or various places. And there's a lot of horsepower there. You can actually accomplish a lot. It's worth people taking a look at if they're really into Braille, I think.
Yeah, I think the Braille support has definitely gotten better. And then, you know, if you use an app like VoiceStream Writer that has some of those, you know, cursor navigation commands and things, because I do think that one thing we've really lacked on the iPhone is some of the basic navigation, like the ability to move by paragraph, that kind of stuff that, you know, just hasn't been there. And, you know, with that, it's better. And I mean, they still, I know that he's working on Braille display integration more. It's hard, you know, he doesn't know Braille. He's obviously not going to want to shell out the money for a Braille display. And he was saying, you know, he wouldn't know how to use it if he had one. And so, you know, that's tricky. But I know he was working with somebody at CSUN on Braille. And I think so we'll probably see some better Braille support come out with that app. And that's really exciting, because if we can get a little bit better navigation, and I hope the editing stuff can be, you know, a little bit improved. But it's certainly much better than it was even a year ago, and it's exciting to see it happening. So I think it should just keep getting better.
We need to get Winston on the podcast, Allison, and talk with him about some of these things, because I think if anyone has shown that they can really be creative in terms of bringing us commands that are much more speech-friendly, he's done it. And I bet he can do it in the Braille arena as well. So.
Oh, and I'm sure.
Well, I know he really wants to, and he did say he was going to work with someone at CSUN. Yeah, I think he gets it, that it's important. So, yeah, that would be great.
It's a challenge for sure, and I know it's a small group comparatively who need and want such things, but it's important to address those needs. And I'm encouraged, honestly, by what we're seeing from Apple these days. I think they're really working on it, and it's happening. It maybe not as quickly as some people would like, but all these things seem to take time. So,
yeah. Well, and one thing that I thought was nice when I was going through writing the book this year, when I got to the section on editing text, it was really gratifying to see that some of the bugs from iOS 7 had been fixed. You know, you don't necessarily think about it that much, but looking at the text that I had there and like, well, selecting text last year from the screen was really difficult. It didn't work very well. And because, you know, if you touched one part of the screen, focus would jump there. I know I found it pretty much impossible to really select effectively. And this year when I went through and tried all that, it worked. It was like, wow, they really fixed a lot. So yeah, there were definitely bugs, and I wish that they could have had a longer development cycle before they released iOS 8 to the public, but they did fix a lot from last year, and certainly since iOS 8 came out, they've done a lot to fix things.
Yeah, and I'm hearing there's a lot more fixes coming in the next release, so I think
8.3.
Yeah, I think people are going to be pleased with 8.3.
Yeah, so it's certainly getting there. And Allison, do you have any thoughts, just general, or questions for Anna, or thoughts about the book? I know you read it as well this week.
I did, and this is still my go-to book in terms of learning new things about the iPhone. Even though I am a power user and one of those geeks who tries to stay on the bleeding edge, I learn something every time I read your book, Anna. I learned a lot more about, you know, the landscape differences with the 6 Plus, because I have a 6 Plus, and honestly, that was just one of the things that I just did not delve into due to time constraints. So I was glad that you addressed that in the book. And I am a rehab counselor, so I recommend your book to my clients. I mean, we purchase a lot of iPhones for folks now in California, at least I do. And I always tell people, okay, I've bought you the iPhone. Now you need to go to National Braille Press and get this book, because it will show you everything that you need to do in order to become confident and to augment your training that you're getting in order to become a power user.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you found it helpful and that your clients are finding it helpful. And I mean, that's really good to hear.
For a long time, there was not nearly enough documentation in this area. Your book for many years was what was the primary one that I have been aware of. This year we've seen some other books come on the scene with Shelley's iOS Access for All, Shelley Brisbane, and she did a really nice job covering all aspects of accessibility on the iOS devices as well. And she did a good chapter on VoiceOver. But for me, it's really nice, and Jonathan Mosen has done for the last couple of years books on iOS. It's really nice, though, to have these different perspectives, because I kind of learn something a little bit differently from each book. And so I'm really pleased to see this, to see people providing more of this kind of documentation.
Yeah, I think it's great that, I mean, all of those, I mean, I think, you know, Shelley's book, looking at access as a whole, you know, especially if you might be working with people with multiple disabilities, or you just want to get a better sense of how all of that works, it's wonderful to have that broad overview. And Jonathan's book, I mean, I always look at it because, you know, he does such a great job right at the beginning of the new OS of putting all the big changes in one place. I think that focusing on one specific disability and one specific set of features then for a really long time hopefully helps somebody for whom that is their only disability get up and running. And so I think that the three were really, it's great having all of them, because I think they're all, I think they all are very useful to some of the same people and then to different groups.
Your book has always been, as least as I understand it, a very popular book through National Braille Press, and I guess really speaks to just how much of an impact the iPhone has made in the blindness world, the blindness community. I think really a whole market there for selling books that didn't exist 10 years ago.
Yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense. The iPhone has been so exciting, and to have such great access to a mainstream device, I think, has just brought a lot of people in and what you can do with it. And then it's great to have the different books and other resources. And that's one thing that I do in the book as well, is there's a list of all kinds of different resources, including all the books that you mentioned, and mailing lists and podcasts and things to try to help people move on and learn other stuff as well.
Yeah, I think that we forget sometimes that for a lot of people, the touchscreen is still a very new idea, and learning to use it is challenging. Each of us have our own challenges with the different gestures and how to make them work and all. And so, you know, because I use it so many hours a day, it kind of becomes old hat to me, but I forget there's a whole group out there that I think can really especially benefit from your book. So maybe you can tell people how they might go about getting the book if they want a copy of it.
Well, you go to www.nbp, as in National Braille Press.org. So www.nbp.org. And the easiest thing to do is just search for iPhone on the main screen. You'll link to my book and a bunch of other ones as well. And the page on my book also, in addition to giving you, you know, a blurb about the book as a whole, there's also a link to the table of contents. So that if you're wondering what it covers and all of that, you'll be able to find out.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see your book be published in a bunch of different formats. A lot of people, of course, are going to want the hard copy Braille, but if you want a downloadable version, I was really pleased to see it come out this time available in EPUB format. I don't know whether you had anything much to do with that or not, but it's sure nice to have all those options for people who want to read the book in different ways.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I know we did the EPUB for some of them. I guess maybe last year's didn't get done that way. And I think it's important. I mean, obviously, if you're brand new to the iPhone, odds are you're not going to want to read it in EPUB on your iPhone. But if you are more experienced, it can be a really convenient way to read it. So I'm glad that we were able to do that this time around.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the EPUB format because you can so easily jump to a different chapter or different section using the table of contents. It really makes working with a book like yours so much easier. And the straight text format or the doc format can be very frustrating if you don't want to read it straight through.
Absolutely. And the fact that links are live and all that kind of stuff, I think is just really, EPUB is a great format. And then the search feature on any ebook reader that I'm familiar with, certainly on iBooks or VoiceDream Reader, you know, is really good. So, but I really did try to make the contents detailed enough to make it easy for people to find what they're looking for.
Yeah, we've talked about VoiceDream Reader, but VoiceDream Reader, which is its companion app for reading books, the search capability in that application is really fantastic. I've been amazed at how when you search for something, it shows you the different places in the book where that particular word or phrase occurs, and you can quickly jump to write what you're looking for. It's very well done, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He's done a great job with both those apps.
Is there anything else about the book that either of you feel like would be important to mention that we haven't covered at this point? Have we covered it pretty well?
I think so. I should say there is a question and answer section with some common questions, and there is a list of all the apps with links so that any app that's mentioned in the book you can find out more about or get if you're interested, and that resources section. And also, in addition to the book, which walks you through in a very step-by-step way, the first appendix has all of the gestures and buttons and what they do and all the different things that you can do with them. So if you just want a quick reference in addition to the tutorial, that's there as well.
Yeah, I would really agree with Allison's point that even if you're a power user, there are things to be learned from reading this book. So I encourage everyone to check it out. If nothing else, go read the table of contents, and I'll guarantee you, you're likely to find something that you're interested in learning more about. So thank you, Anna, for telling us about the book. I'm so glad you do this every year. I hope you'll keep it up because we're going to see new versions of iOS, and it's an ever-changing landscape. But thank you for coming on and talking to us about it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. And we will certainly encourage everyone to grab a copy of this book and make use of it, because you got to do it now or else we'll be up to iOS 9 and you'll be too late. So So things change fast. So grab it now. And Allison, if you don't mind, as you usually do, would you please tell people how they might get in touch with us if they have a question or want to talk about any of these things we've discussed here?
Absolutely. Please feel free to send an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Very well. This is Robert the Tech Doctor. I will say until next time, so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley saying bye, everyone.